Thank you, Ian. Well, I think we're very much amongst the new members of the Martin School, and we're beginning to learn how exciting an environment it can be to work within. I've been asked to introduce to you today the very diverse work and our very bold aspirations within the Institute for Vaccine Design. So we've just been told that the population is ageing and that acute disease is much less of a concern. But actually, acute disease, even in this antibiotic and antiviral era, is still a major concern across the world. And in fact, there are many people within the world whose life will be either cut short or destroyed in terms of its quality by infectious disease, and often relatively simple infectious disease. World Health Organization says that about a quarter of all deaths annually are because of communicable diseases, and these are what we're looking at. And in fact, within these diseases, there are a very small number of diseases which are responsible for a large number of the deaths. Malaria, which many of us are aware of as something that we take some pills before we travel, but actually cerebral malaria kills over 1 million a year. Meningitis, which again, our children are probably all vaccinated against meningitis in this country, but actually there's still strains of meningitis which we can't be vaccinated against. And across the world as a whole, again, about 1 million children lose their lives to meningitis every year. We all know that HIV is an ongoing issue, although somewhat moderated due to drug regimes, which now give people good life expectancy, but the drugs are expensive and difficult to access, and therefore only available to a minority of the sufferers. And finally, and surprisingly, pneumonia, pneumococcal disease, still kills more than 1 million children every year. I think this is something that many of us had come to think of as a disease of old age, where people gradually faded out, but this is very much an active problem in young children. And then diseases which institutes such as Angela's Institute are looking at have the potential, while at the moment not causing that many deaths, only 200,000 after all to influenza last year, but we're worried about the way in which these viruses can change so that they will suddenly be much more of a burden on our population. So antibiotics and antivirals have been wonderfully successful, but what our institute is hoping to do is to follow in the legacy of Jenner to develop vaccines. And this is really because vaccines can be given when you're not sick. They can be given in a timely fashion with some ease, and therefore they're often much cheaper, more effective ways. Jenner is credited with having saved something like 500 million lives to date through noticing that if you were infected with a relatively mild disease, cowpox, you were protected from the very devastating disease, smallpox. The problem with this is that it's proven to be very difficult to adapt Jenner's technology to make vaccines from those diseases I was talking about earlier. And so what we need are new ideas and new ways to come up with vaccines that will provide protection against these very difficult diseases. So within the Institute, we're hoping to bring together people who think about disease from a very wide range of perspectives to come up with genuinely novel ideas for how to design vaccines. And in particular, we want to take everything from the very basic level of surveying what diseases are doing, how they're changing in response to their hosts and to the world out there, modelling them to try and better understand that, breaking them down to study the fine detail of how they work, and then translating this all through to the clinic to actually develop new vaccines. And so we have people that are involved in all these areas of science, both within our institute and in the interactions with the other institutes within the school. I'm just going to tell you a couple of stories of ways in which we're trying to develop new vaccines for some of those diseases at the moment. This is actually part of the surface of HIV, and it's a picture which, for me, illustrates why this virus is so difficult to tackle with a vaccine, because all the blue things that you see surrounding there are made by the human host that the virus is living in. And this is therefore very difficult to recognise as being something from outside of us, because it's covered in us. So we're using technologies which allow us to target vaccines against cells which are infected by the virus, rather than the virus itself. And in doing this, we hope we'll be able to tackle this very difficult problem. We're working also in collaboration with a lot of other people, and this is actually work on providing vaccines for the strain of meningitis for which we currently have no vaccine in the West, meningitis B. And this is work that's being done in collaboration with Novartis. And there's one vaccine already in phase 3 trials in conjunction with Oxford. And my group have recently solved the structure of the molecule, which is the active part of that vaccine. And this has allowed us to understand what this molecule does for the bacterium. And what it actually does is it steals proteins from our blood to make it look more like us, to allow it to evade the immune system. So by some simple tinkering with the molecule, now we can see its structure, we can redesign it to get rid of that function, and we hope that this will make a much better vaccine. So we're working with Novartis to now get this molecule into the pipeline for vaccine development. The other thing we want to do is we want to use our technologies to make better vaccines, and vaccines might be better because they provide broader protection. An example of a vaccine where we might want broader protection is against influenza. And this is actually a small additive to vaccines which significantly increases the strength of the immune response. And we hope that by using additives such as that, And by understanding influenza better, we may be able to design vaccines which are truly pan-influenza vaccines, rather than needing to be changed every year as the strains that circulate change. The other way in which vaccines might be better is by making them more stable. The stretch and reach of vaccination is really very limited because so many vaccines at the moment have to be kept in relatively bulky solution forms, which then have to be refrigerated, and this significantly limits access to them. And other groups within our institute are using the biology of these resurrection plants, which are wonderful things, which can be completely desiccated, survive very high temperatures, and then with the addition, when they reach the final growing conditions, they recuperate because they're full of very sticky sugars. And this technology has been adapted to allow vaccines to be travelled into the field as dried down vaccines on filter paper. And then working with other engineers, we've developed this very simple system shown at the bottom here, which means that all you need to vaccinate a community is some sterile water and a box full of these filter papers, and you can then reconstitute the vaccine as you inject it into the person. So we hope that using technologies like this, vaccines which currently can't be shipped to the communities which need them, will be able to reach them. The World Health Organization declared the world a smallpox-free zone during the 20th century, and in the 21st century has aspirations to cure the world of a couple of other diseases, specifically poliovirus and a couple of others. We actually think, with a bit more investment at this time and a bit more clever thinking this early on in the century, we should have the ambition to think that the 21st century could be the one in which we really either eradicate or just reduce to an unimportance many of these other diseases. And that's what we hope that people will enjoy doing by working with us in the Martin School to achieve this. Thank you.